Yeah, we got to get to the Peacock story here in just a little bit. Emily will fill us in just a little bit. Black Monday, which is usually today when all the NFL coaches, only one new name to the list. We saw that Lovie Smith got it yesterday. We knew that Nat Hackett got it after the Rams. Mm-hmm. Let me just, Baker Mayfield and the Rams put 51 on. It's a really good way to get yourself fired. Have a four-win team score 51 points against you. And then you've got Jeff Saturday in Indianapolis, who will probably not hold on to that job either. But Cliff Kingsbury got it today. So he's no longer the coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and we're waiting to find out about Sean McVay, which is weird to say. It really is, because like we're both kind of in that, what odds would you give it right now? So I'm at like 55% he leaves.
I think how he is, you said this before, he's so upfront, honest, kind of will answer any question that you have. For him to give the answer he gave on Friday when he was asked about it by reporters, then the report comes out on Saturday that he's indecisive right now and is going to need some time off, and then kind of hearing some of that yesterday as well, I really think he's leaning towards not coming back as the coach of the Los Angeles Rams. So if you said give a percentage, I'd give it close to 65-70%.
Yeah, it's funny that when you're at the end of the line, like this is apples.
I think he told us a lot by not saying that much.
I think so too, but it's a bit of an apples to, I don't know, sledgehammer comparison kind of deal. I was very excited for this Rams season to come to an end and get my Sundays back. I have to go talk for a few hours every Sunday. It's not a big deal.
Watch football at SoFi.
And I love it. And I love it. But when the season is bad, and this has been a bad season, 5-12, about Halloween, you're like, all right, man, let's get to the end of the line of this thing. I guarantee you, Al, hey, what's today? Today's the 9th of January. By the 9th of February, I'm going to be like, yeah, I miss football. I'm ready to go watch some football again. And certainly by the time you get to August and September and the games start, I'm going to be fired up for it all over again. That's me. Yeah. Sean McVay and the work that he has to put in, I would imagine there's nothing in the tank right now. But a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a month from now, if the Rams can afford to give him that much runway, I wouldn't be surprised if he said, you know what, I got a lot left to do in this league. I cannot leave on a 5-12 season. I need to get back after this. I'm not all the way there. I'm only partially way there.
So here's the difference with that conversation. Coming off a 5-12 season, and let's say Sean McVay decides, guys, I want a break from all this. I'm going to take a year off. The difference, I think, in his position that's so much different than a lot of these other coaches is every single coaching vacancy that comes up moving forward, they will ask, Sean McVay interested? Is Sean McVay interested? He's in a very interesting position that he's so young that he has opportunities waiting for him on TV. Mm-hmm. Money will never be an issue in his life. And getting the right head coaching job again will never be an issue in his life. So I think that there is a part of me that leans more towards he might leave for a year. He might leave for a little bit of time. Do I think he's going to come back and coach? I do. But I think his situation, what's unique about it with the Rams, he can say, guys, I want a breath. I just want to get away from it. And in a year, that might change. And then every other good coaching spot that's available, they'll ask, hey, is Sean McVay interested?
No question. Everything you said is true. But there's also that grass is greener thing, right? That you think, okay, another good opportunity will come around and I'll be the front of the line. That is true. But you never quite know what it's going to be, mm-hmm. right? This is what he knows. It is Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It is incredibly high profile. Now, maybe the Rams don't have a fan base like the Dallas Cowboys or Pittsburgh Steelers. I understand that. But it's still Los Angeles. You play in SoFi Stadium. You work with a general manager that you clearly have a rapport with. You have an owner in Stan Kroenke. Wants to win. Mm-hmm. What do you need? Okay, here you go. You can have it. Now go win. That doesn't line up like that all that often. And not that, you know, look, maybe it's just absolute burnout and I can't get out of bed and look at another football tape. I can't do it. Then there's no decision to be made. Then he leaves. But if you just assume, well, I'll have another great opportunity. So maybe, but not necessarily. It's hard to get all those pieces lined up exactly the way that you need to have them lined up.
Sometimes it has nothing to do with, I don't think the Rams have done anything wrong.
No, I agree.
I don't think that this is a, hey, I'm going to leave now because in a year there will be a better coaching job. I don't think it has anything to do with that, Trav. I don't think there's, sometimes there's just nothing that your employer can do to make that employee say, hey, I want to be here. And that might just be the position that he's in. And it has nothing to do with the Rams. He's not angry at the GM.
No.
He's not mad at ownership. It might just be, for me right now in my life, I want to take a break.
I want to come back to McVay here in just 1 second, but more great news on the DeMar Hamlin front. DeMar Hamlin has been discharged from the hospital and is returning home to Buffalo, per the physicians at the University of Cincinnati Health. DeMar Hamlin's going home today.
Incredible.
It's extraordinary. It's a week. It's not even a full week. It's a week tonight. And that, look, even knowing he's headed home, Al, I still don't even like saying this. I really did think we were going to get the worst possible outcome. The lack of information coming out on Monday night, the lack of information on Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon was, okay, this is not good. This may be the worst thing possible. He's going home today.
Amazing. Incredible.
It's
incredible.
I don't know what else to add to that.
Every day since Thursday, we've been getting a little, no, actually since Wednesday, we've been getting a little bit more. And the increments of good news that it's jumped on day to day has just been incredible.
He's tweeting yesterday, if he's going home to Buffalo today, Buffalo plays Saturday, I want to say, right? Buffalo's one of the Saturday games.
I think you might be right.
He's going to be there, right? So they play Sunday. He's going to be there Sunday for sure, right? I mean, why not? He'll be in a booth. He'll be on the sidelines. He'll be in a box.
Amazing.
Somewhere, DeMar Hamlin. It's just great news. All right, back to McVay very quickly. Rams fans, what now? Let's assume that he steps away from the team. Do you just kind of say, hey, Raheem Morris, prior head coach in the league? Raheem Morris got a lot of credit for helping Sean McVay last year and kind of navigating through the playoffs and everything else.
Yep.
He's a guy that's a candidate for other vacancies around the league. He's got experience. He's well-liked in the building. Do you just kind of try to maintain some of that continuity? Or do you go, hey, look, Sean Payton's out there. Sean Payton's a Super Bowl winning head coach who's available, who likes Los Angeles. Or do you go off the board? Do you just kind of open it up the way they did last time when they fired Jeff Fisher and went and found Sean McVay?
Go get Staley.
All right. Sorry. Oh, by the way, I'm sure Mike Williams is a huge Brandon Staley fan today. That was a great idea. Game that means nothing. Run him out there. He's hurt. It's fine. Got to field the team. Here was his line.
This isn't the preseason where you have 90 guys to choose from. You only have 48 players to choose from. So you have to go out there. You have to field a football team.
I understand, but Mike Williams doesn't have to be one of the 11 that you put out there. You don't have to do that. You could make a different decision than that, right?
So it's kind of funny. Yesterday, they're playing Denver, right? I didn't watch any of the game. Didn't pay any attention, none of that stuff. Later in the day, I'm kind of catching up on some of the football stuff. And all I see is this. It was on ESPN.com, but then you just see on Twitter, too. What is Staley doing? Why is he playing these guys? But then you got the guys trying to protect their coach, saying, no, you know, he needs us to get out there. We're going to go out there. You know, when this is a perfect example of having the right leader that puts their players in a position or their employees in a position to succeed, right? I don't know how most Charger fans felt about it. I have a little chain of a couple buddies that are still Charger fans.
Uh-huh.
They were just saying over and over again, does somebody want to explain to me when you're already locked into a playoff spot?
Yeah, once Cincinnati had lost, the Chargers were the 5.
Cincinnati won.
I'm sorry.
Right? Baltimore lost.
Yes, my bad. Yes.
And that was a 10 a.m. game.
Right.
It's done. Yeah. It's over. Herbert's in there still. I think he played 3 quarters.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Mike Williams, Bosa was in the game.
I'm sure Chase Daniel gives them just the same chance to go to the Super Bowl as Justin Herbert.
Sure. Genius.
It's a lot. And he got hurt. They say it's back spasms. They say he's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And he'll be able to continue to play, but we'll see.
But that has followed. The only reason I think there's a bigger reason why that was a big story yesterday is because you've already questioned Staley on a ton of different things. So when something else like this comes up, you're like, okay, this kind of follows the theme of it. We were talking about Sean McVay, you know, obviously for a lot here. He doesn't have stuff like that has been attached to him, so he gets a benefit of the doubt, where Staley right now doesn't get that benefit of the doubt.
All right, then, of course, there's the Baker Mayfield question. Do you bring him back or not? Is he interested in coming back? We'll do that one next. Plus, the Dodgers made a call on Trevor Bauer. It was the obvious one. Now the bigger question, where does he go next? Is there a place for him to land? It's all coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, so Chris teased this twice, and this is something I sent him and Travis this morning, a story in the LA Times. So this morning, I have an app on my phone for the LA Times, and it'll give you like sometimes like a banner, and it's usually like the title of whatever article they think might interest you. So this banner title was, "They're loud, they're proud, these peacocks are getting the boot." And I was like, I have to send this to Chris and Travis. And so apparently this story is about the South Pasadena City Council, on the back of aggrieved Monterey Hills residents, say that the entire population of peacocks from the city limits in South Pasadena are going to be moved to private ranches in estates throughout California.
Talking about here. What the hell's going on here?
Peafowl. That's what we're talking about.
Well, we can't move them. They've been there longer than most of those residents.
So growing up in Arcadia.
Generations.
Where my house was literally a 5-minute walk from the back fence of the Arboretum, which is where all of the peafowl come from, right? They put them in there, but they can fly and they can breed, therefore more peafowl.
Yes.
Right? And turns out they poop quite a bit too, which is a bit of a nuisance, and they make that noise.
Yeah, that noise is
constantly.
It's a little loud. It's a little loud. Yes.
5 a.m. 6 o'clock at night. Doesn't matter.
Zoom in on Travis's
screaming.
Face.
I'm going to do one right into the camera.
When that happens.
Right, Cody,
on
Zoom.
YouTube.
I don't know if you have Zoom capabilities on
Carlo
that.
Carlo is there too.
Here it comes, Slee. You ready?
Yep.
There you go. You can see my uvula bouncing around
look.
In my mouth.
Did a peafowl come in the room? I don't know. Look, I just like the name peafowl.
I think the males are the only ones that make that call. I don't think that the peahens, as they are called, they respond to it. That's how you get more.
So disrespectful
peafowl.
To that community. They're getting moved.
Yeah, but if you're in they're South divorced. Pasadena, your nightmare's over.
They're loud as hell, and I've gone out for some hikes over in that area, and you're just waiting in the road because three of them are crossing, and you're like, just take your time.
So
whenever
just
you're ready.
If people that know, but the peacock is on the city crest of Arcadia where I grew up. It's like their signature thing. And the male the one with the big bright blue head and the giant feathers, like the one that's the icon on the emoji on Apple.
Yeah.
There's like two of those and 10,000 of the gray ones. Okay. Those don't come around.
It's false marketing.
It is. It is. And then they, they're only in bloom for a little bit when they're trying to attract some mates. So I'm team round up the peafowl. As much as I like making the noise, because I know
you move
hate
them out
it.
To Orange County.
Go to some California residents
in your
large
neighborhood.
States.
They're pretty big and they're pretty noisy and they are very, very messy. Let's go to Long Beach. And Mike, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just got a fun fact on how the peacocks ended up. There's a ton in Pasadena, but how they ended up in Palos Verdes as well, and it's thanks to the Cubs.
The Chicago Cubs?
The Chicago Cubs. The Wrigley family gifted peacocks to the Vanderbilt family, and back in the heyday, when everyone had a vacation home out here, and that's how they ended up going from Pasadena to Palos Verdes.
Have you sued the Wrigley family? Is there a lawsuit that's coming up?
Absolutely.
Well, it's the last time I eat a piece of juicy fruit or double mint. I'm out on the Wrigley's.
Gone. Lost them just like that.
You know, by the way, is there anything more baller than giving the gift of animals to another person?
That's very regal.
It is. It's very rich, yeah. Guy. The Vanderbilts, the Wrigleys, the DuPonts, the Rockefellers.
It's giving 12 Days of Christmas when they're like, oh, here's like 18 different bird species that you can
I was going to get you a horse. just a horse.
See, that's not a good gift. Like, what you'd have to do is you'd have to give me two horses. You'd have to give me a male horse and a female horse.
That's right.
You'd have to, so there were, and then I can
damn,
have horses, right? You don't give me a peacock because mm-hmm. then it's going to die. And what's the point of that? But if you give me a peacock and a peahen and they make more peafowl, now I got
it's
peacocks.
There for generations.
Now you got some idiot on the radio screaming 50 years, 60, 100 years later, making the
you
sound.
You just got to zoom in on your face when you did that.
It's not a great face. Under any circumstances, it's really not great with that. Trevor Bauer, gone from the Dodgers. They released him or they designated him for assignment. They can try to trade him still, but it's very, very unlikely. And a bit of a mixed bag on what people think is going to happen next. That there is, Alden Gonzalez wrote about this, and he says that it's more people than not, agents, you know, general managers, executives that have been asked anonymously what they think, that, like, because he's so strident in his insistence that he did nothing wrong, it's going to be very hard for somebody to bring him in because he won't do the I've learned my lesson tour. He just, that's not in his nature. And I keep coming back to this, Al. Deshaun Watson's the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. We've seen a lot of guys that have done a lot of things that you think, okay, well, that's the end of that guy, and they come back. Now, Deshaun Watson apologized, and I guess it's best he could, and it wasn't very satisfying, but he said something. Somebody's going to say, listen, that guy's a really good pitcher. I know that he's got baggage, but bring him in. I'd be shocked if Trevor Bauer is not pitching on a team at some point in the 2023 season.
So I've heard some different things when all this was kind of going down. It's interesting with the Dodgers. They waited till the absolute last second on Trevor Bauer. Even Trevor Bauer in his statement said something along the lines, the Dodgers organization told me that they want me back, and then they decided that's not going to happen. I don't know how much to trust what Trevor Bauer is saying. It comes down to, there's a couple things that it comes down to. Is there a team out there that will decide? We're willing to take whatever backlash comes with it. And you know what? It's going to be really hard in the beginning. And then it's going to be really hard for the first 2 weeks. And then spring training is going to start. And it will be hard then. And then the regular season will start. And it might be hard then. But by the time you get to May, people talking about it.
No.
And I'm not here to... He served 194-game suspension.
Yeah.
If this dude was not that good and he wasn't a Cy Young Award winner back in 2020, okay. Then maybe the conversation's a lot different. I actually am leaning more towards I don't think somebody's going to pick him up.
Really?
I do. I lean more towards that. And I could fall flat on my face just hearing what some of the other reporters have said, that there was already, as far as teams out there, there's this kind of like, no, we have no interest. We want to. Let me give you an example. This is probably not the best one, but it's one example. The San Diego Padres need a starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, so do the Dodgers. They're not the only one. There's plenty of teams.
Everybody
can use a starting pitcher. This happened with somebody who's from San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this
one of the three women who have accused him.
Yeah, that happened in San Diego. Do I think that the San Diego Padres are going to say, "Let's mix this into everything else that they got going on"? I don't think that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can the Kansas City Royals or can a team that's just really have no connections to Southern California, would they take a chance on that? I've just read enough on it that I feel like a lot of teams are worried to do it, that maybe this time around. But what you just said about Deshaun Watson is a good example of saying, hey, Al, remember how loud all the noise was? It got quiet pretty fast.
In like a week. And then he came back and he played, and we just talked about him as a football player. And there are people that are always going to have a bad taste in their mouth about somebody like Deshaun Watson or Trevor Bauer. But look, John said this during Super Crosstalk last week, but Ray Rice did not get blackballed from the NFL because he punched his wife in that elevator. He got blackballed from the NFL because he punched his wife in the elevator at the end of his career. That's why. Joe Mixon punched a woman in the face on camera and got drafted and is playing well because he was at the beginning of his career. Mm. We've seen a variety of guys that talent trumps morality almost every time. I would ask you, I need to know the guy that has been in the prime of his career, which Trevor Bauer is, mm-hmm. that did something that is, how do we want to characterize what Bauer did? Morally ambiguous, shall we say. Yep. Not necessarily a crime, but morally ambiguous, that did not get brought back into the fold. I don't think there is one, right? That if he were 38 instead of 32, different conversation. If he were a pitcher like... I don't want to put
a journeyman. It could be somebody that
guy fighting to be the fifth guy in your rotation somewhere. He's probably done. He's not. There are 30 teams in baseball. If he walked into all 30 of them, he's the best pitcher in the room on 27 of them. Okay, he's gonna pitch again. Hmm. The Astros.
Your argument is it's compelling. I get it. I
don't want him to pitch on my team. I am a Dodger fan, and the Dodger said not here. I think you're right. In specifically San Diego, there are extenuating circumstances that not here. But what's to prevent the Yankees from doing it, or the Houston Astros from doing it, or the Rangers who are making a run at legitimacy, or a team like the Atlanta Braves is like, look, we're really good, but boy, we got to deal with the Mets. We got to deal with all of these others. You're going to have to reload and get some more talent, and you get him for virtually nothing.
$700,000.
The Dodgers are paying the freight for this.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to do the, look, we know that this isn't perfect, but we think it can help this team, and we're gonna move forward. Somebody's going to do it.
Your argument's more compelling. Your argument has more it has more examples of these players you thought would never play again, and they played, and where as far as their productivity at this stage of their career.
All right, LeBron James is questionable for tonight's game against Denver, but he's not questionable about what he wants done with his Laker team, at least not from what he told Sam Amick. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Rams players, Rams coaches continue to talk today. It is getaway day for all the teams that have been eliminated from the playoffs. Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic tweeted, Sean McVay was very reflective in his press conference with us today. Among other comments, as he weighs the right decision for himself, he says by no means is he done coaching overall. We know the answer, right? We're just waiting for the official word. I got to make the decision. The second I say what's the right decision for myself, it means I'm leaving. The second I say I'm not done forever, well, it means I'm done for right now. Am I reading into this?
We haven't, probably about a half hour ago, 45 minutes ago. I feel like he has said enough over these last 3 days to answer my questions. Yeah. I think he said enough on Friday. I think that report that came out on Saturday, I think what he said yesterday and what he said today is enough for me to say I agree with him. I don't think he's done coaching. I just think he's going to leave the game for a second. And the amount of time that he leaves game, it has nothing to do with the Los Angeles Rams. It has nothing to do with ownership. It has nothing to do with the resources. It has nothing to do with the talent that's been in front of him. I think he wants to leave the game for a second. And whatever the repercussions are to that or whatever happens down the line, he's okay with.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I don't think what Rams fans have put together quite quickly, just judging by the response, is, guys, if he leaves – this team becomes something else very, very quickly, I think. Not just from the decisions that will be made as far as personnel goes. They caught lightning in a bottle with this dude. This is not how this goes.
No,
right?
It's not how it goes.
You do not find a 30-year-old dude who comes in and just everything works. Go to the Super Bowl a couple of times in 6 years. Let's win a Super Bowl. Let's go to the playoffs virtually every season. Let's only have one bad year out of the first. That's not how this goes. Usually it's up and down. You're good for a year or two. You're bad for a year or two. You fire him. On to the next guy. that this is, I think we were all taking it a little bit for granted that, oh, he's going to be here 10 years, 12 years. Maybe it's a Mike Tomlin kind of run. Maybe it's a Pete Carroll kind of run.
Sure.
An Andy Reid in Philadelphia.
This is yours for whenever you want to leave.
As long as you want.
And we want to compete every year, so we're on the same page.
Yeah. It's if he makes that decision, and now we're talking who's next.
Mm-hmm.
Rams fans, you need to buckle up for that. That could be a very, very different conversation.
What happens with the soup commercials? Have people thought, looked into that at all?
I have no idea what that means.
Taylor, quick on his toes.
That was me.
By the way.
Give Travis.
Oh, that was you?
I have no idea what that means.
Taylor, quick on it.
Don't worry. It's been on that screen for a long time.
It's look, we've got that and we've got this.
Does Travis go deep? Travis goes deep!
Those are the two, like everything else. There's only like 12 things on my board. It takes me forever to find something. I know where those two are.
Those, you know. Can we just go back to, for a quick second here? The man looks really good in this Lakers gear.
I'm itching. I'm getting hives
or
something.
No, you're not.
Dude, where'd you keep this?
In like a glass case.
Balls in
there. Hanging on his wall.
At Wells Fargo in a bank.
He worships at the altar of magic every single night. I believe it.
Bro, you look solid there. If you're not on YouTube, go on YouTube. Go take a look at Taylor.
Taylor, I want to tell you this, and I have no dog in this fight, right?
We're
this
going to a Lakers game, Taylor and I.
You look really good in that. You really did. He looks like a Laker fan. Like if you walked in, you're like, oh, that guy's going to the Laker game.
Yep.
You look like you're supposed to look.
Got some suggestions for the team. Yeah, I think we need Phil Jackson back here in town. Trade for Trae Young, Kyrie Irving.
Oh, boy.
Miles Turner.
Trade everything away.
What could go wrong with any of those moves? LeBron wants him to do something. What was the line that he gave to Sam Amick when they were walking towards the bus? Y'all know what the should be happening. I don't need to talk. That was after saying that, you know, it's not his job to make personnel moves, that it's not rocket scientists, that everybody knows what needs to get done. He obviously wants something to get done. We're a month away from the trade deadline.
Yep.
And like you said earlier, Al, sure, okay, A, what, and B, at what cost, and everyone else is kind of in the same boat. There's only a handful of teams in the West that are out of it, and the Lakers and everybody else are not one of them.
You go look at the standings right now, and it's exciting to see that the Lakers are they're back in the mix. Trav, look, there was no point in last year. Last season, they were never in the mix. Lakers haven't had a five-game winning streak. I don't know how long it's been, but I know it's at least 1 year that they have not had a five-game winning streak. The issue that I think is we have not reached a point in the season. By the time tonight is all said and done, we're at the 50% mark. 50% of the season is done when the Lakers are done with the Denver Nuggets tonight. It'll be 41 games. They're one game from sixth place, but they're also one game from 13th place. Now, I'm not, I think there's value to draft picks. I understand that there's value to draft picks. Maybe I don't value them as much as somebody else does. So I'm not in the camp of, no, you can't touch that pick 5 years from now. I'm not in that camp. But what I think this situation, what kind of Bron creates by saying things like this, or when he had that post-game presser, which I didn't have a problem with that post-game presser, where he's like, listen, it's not in my DNA to lose. I want to win. It's not like the guy is putting up 14 points and 4 rebounds and 3 assists, which, by the way, every other player that was in the 20th year of their career, those are probably more likely those numbers. Go look at Kobe in his final year. It's a big difference.
Go look at everybody in
Kareem in his final year.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan in his final year.
Dirk.
Dirk, every single Vince Carter, all those guys. So I would just say this. I think the Lakers, it's imperative that they make the playoffs. I don't like when Laker fans say, well, why are you catering to LeBron James? He's wearing the purple and gold. I get that there's a long-term view, but there's also a view of, I'd like to see LeBron in the playoffs one more time. I'd like to see Anthony Davis in the playoffs. I think if there's a deal to be had and Rob Pelinka in the front office feels this will help them at least make the playoffs this year, and then let's take our chances with a team that's played 17 and 11 in their last whatever amount of games that is. I don't know if it helps when Bron says what he says, because I think from a bargaining chip perspective, if teams think that you're desperate to make a move, they're going to try to obviously take advantage of that.
Let's see. Hasn't one of the primary issues these past couple of years, aside from injuries, been lack of continuity? And you finally have these guys playing well together, and now you just want to go shake things up?
So I think the conversation of Russ getting traded, I don't think Russ is getting traded. And I think that conversation
you
is
almost
actually...
can't trade him right now. He's too useful.
I think that conversation has gone down a lot.
Sure.
Right? But I'm going to answer some what you just said, Taylor. They need a shooter. And I don't disagree with you that some continuity is important. I think that is probably one of the biggest mistakes Pelinka has made as the president of basketball. You don't have the same team. So every year you're recycling all these different guys. But they do need a shooter. They don't have a reliable shooter that they could depend on. If you can make a move and it's a smaller move and it was Kendrick Nunn, Pat Bev, and something else.
Yeah, but then what are you getting for that? That you're right. You only get what you pay for. And right now, things are the prices are inflated for all the reasons you said. There are so many teams involved in the mix. So Pat Bev and I forget who the other one, Kendrick Nunn. You're gonna get, you know, you're not gonna get a ton of return for that because it's a seller's market right now, not a buyer's market. I want to go back to something you said a second ago. That you want to see LeBron in the playoffs one more time? Yes, I agree with that generally speaking. But I also want to see the Lakers win championships again. And I don't know if getting LeBron into the playoffs another time or two gets them any closer to winning championships. And these two things, LeBron shouldn't be worried about what happens to the Lakers in 2026 or 7. It's not his responsibility. It's the team's responsibility to do both of these things at the same time. But the pressure that he's putting on them with these comments – the pressure that he's LeBron James, and he knows how to wield his power very, very effectively. When he says it's no mystery what needs to happen, and I want to get the quote exactly right again, y'all know what should be happening. I don't need to talk. We all know exactly what that means. It means go make a move. But if they're thinking, listen, we can make a move and get a little better, we're not going to win a championship. We're not better than these six or seven teams, and I'm putting them both conferences. We're about winning championships, not just getting LeBron back into the playoffs. That's the tricky spot that they find themselves in all of a sudden. Do you cater to this guy and get a little better, but at the cost of what exactly? And the what may be, well, we're not going to be in a championship mix for the foreseeable future.
So the problem I have with that stance is then what are we doing? Right, like if you have LeBron and AD on your team, and you're not willing to make a move to assure we got to get in the playoffs.
But the moves, Slee, if there were a move, they said, look, if they do this,
they might make the playoffs without doing anything.
You're right, but I think the fact that there isn't an obvious move to your point, you got LeBron, you got AD, but what's the move that all of a sudden you say, I don't care who it is, I don't care if it's Philadelphia, I don't care if it's Milwaukee, Golden State, Denver, I don't care, they can beat anybody. I don't think that move exists.
You're not wrong. And there's going to be – I don't know if anything's going to change in the trade market between now and you get closer to February 9th. Maybe by that time there's more teams that are selling off saying, we'll take our chances. Let's go – let's just get in the draft. We're not going to make any noise. What a lot of these teams don't have that the Lakers do have, they don't have LeBron and Anthony Davis who won 2 years ago. So maybe their philosophy will change in a couple – in a month or whatever the case is. I just think it's so imperative that if you're the front office – don't go out and make a move that you're going to regret in 3-4 years. That's fine. I get that. I completely understand that. But you also have – if you got LeBron and Anthony Davis on your team, it's also your responsibility to make sure that they have enough talent to get in the postseason. And they might already have that. And you might not have to do any of the stuff that Bron is kind of leaning towards.
We'll continue the conversation. Plus, more, even more good news for DeMar Hamlin. That's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. So we've gone from what happened on Monday Night Football a week ago to Damar Hamlin's life hanging in the balance, getting 9-plus minutes of CPR, being resuscitated on the field, and really all of us fearing the absolute worst possible outcome. Damar Hamlin just tweeted, "Headed home to Buffalo today with a lot of love in my heart. Watching the world come together around me on Sunday was truly an amazing feeling. The same love you've all shown me is the same love that I plan to put back into the world and more, bigger than football." Just it puts a smile. If you're not smiling hearing that, there's something wrong with you. That is just an extraordinary turn of events, Lee. And seeing Nyheim Hines take that opening kick to the house was like, yep, there's some stuff in the universe that doesn't make a lot of sense, but is awesome nonetheless. Here it is.
We're underway as New England decided to defer after winning the toss. And here's Hines on the run back, breaking a tackle and taking it past midfield. And down the sideline he goes. This is storybook. An opening kickoff return for Damar Hamlin. And this place is absolutely going wild.
Oh, you just said it's a storybook. This is almost fate. I just can't believe what just happened. Josh Allen, the same thing. 6 days removed from this incredible.
I can't believe it.
You hear Tony Romo Damn. Get choked up a little bit right there. And you're looking around and you see the look on Josh Allen's face. You see the look on Stephon Diggs' face. It's like, what the hell is happening right now? Just a really awesome moment.
You said it best when you set it up, right? Just kind of going through the timeline. It hasn't been a week yet.
No.
It's not been a week. Tonight would be a week.
Right.
And to think, you know, where we were Monday night, where we were Tuesday, Wednesday, you got a little bit of good information. Since then, it's just been spiraling the right way. So it's amazing news.
So yesterday was also the final day of the Red Zone on DirecTV, that it's going to move, I believe it's to YouTube. Is where it's headed next.
YouTube Music and YouTube will be right there. And then
you won't
Pandora
have to change the channel.
Will be
Doomsday, YouTube Music, and the NFL Sunday Ticket all in one spot.
That is correct.
Andrew Siciliano has been doing it since its inception, and he does just an amazing job with it. Here's how he signed off from his final DirecTV Red Zone broadcast.
And the Dolphins, as the seventh seed, are in. They'll go to Buffalo. And that's going to do it. Thank you for watching the Red Zone channel today. Season 18, week 18, episode 308. For all of us, and I truly do mean all of us here in Los Angeles at DirecTV and NFL Sunday Ticket, we thank you for watching episode 308. We thank you for watching another week of the one, the only, the original Red Zone channel. My name is Andrew Siciliano. I'll see you some other day.
So
I had a baby.
That's great. I've known Andrew for a really long time. He's a super good guy.
Good people.
He's amazingly talented at what he does. And he is a Travis and Sliwa listener. I know that for a fact. He will text us or text me occasionally during the show when we're on. Slee, DirecTV and the Red Zone changed the way we watch football. It's totally different pre-Red Zone and post-Red Zone, because before you got your games that were on in your market.
Yeah.
And then you'd get the Sunday ticket and say, I don't know, you're a Minnesota Vikings fan living in San Diego, you could watch all the Vikings games. But this was a guy that was an expert telling you what was happening in the moment as it was happening, bouncing from game to game. And it was like all touchdowns and scoring plays all the time. And just watching a second and eight from your own 26, like, nothing's going to happen here. Take me over to this game. Changed everything.
It's the only sport where you can really do it like that.
Yeah.
Right? Just NFL, there's something about when a team is driving, there's something about a team close to punching it in. You can't do that in the NBA. Can't do that in baseball.
They tried it. Baseball was dreadful.
And maybe there's guys on second and third. Whatever the case is,
right.
NFL's perfect for it. And Siciliano, hats off to what he did.
Yeah, he did a great job. And, you know, I watch the Rams games and I watch Red Zone. That's how we watch. You have your team, right? Yep. You have the team that you root for. And then it's like, yeah, somebody flip it over
first
to the
First off,
Red
you're
Zone.
A liar. You watch the Dodger channel.
No, I'm talking to her. But okay. Of course I watch the Dodger channel.
All right, that's on 94% of the time.
I was flipping, speaking of DirecTV, I'm a DirecTV customer, and I'm flipping through my queue of the shows that you have saved, and I realized I didn't have a lot of space left, so I started deleting a bunch of things, and I hit I didn't even know I had the Fernando documentary recorded, but of course I do.
Of course it is.
I left it there. I decided I'll keep that. I deleted all of Susan's shows and all the kids' stuff.
Complete.
The Fernando documentary stays.
You never know. You never know when you need it, when your family leaves for a couple days.
Absolutely. Gareth Bale announced his retirement from club and international soccer after a 17-year career. His last club goal, LAFC MLS Cup, to tie it up to send it to PKs, and this is what it was.
Palacios looking, throws it on the ground to Ilias Sanchez on the far side. LAFC trailing 3-2. Tiki dragging it to the end line. Palacios keeps it in play to Bale in the middle.
Wow.
Gareth Bale has tied it up! Gareth Bale has tied it up! It's 3-3! Jump for LA Football Club, ole! Ole! Jose Cifuentes, Cheeky Palacios, dug it out! They did not quit, and Gareth Bale was in the middle waiting for it, and Gareth Bale delivered! It's 3-3.
That's Dave Denholm, of course.
Getting these great calls.
It's pretty darn good.
Go work dental.
Not a bad way to walk it off, right? Not a bad way to do it.
17-year career.
It's a pretty good deal. I'm looking over your shoulder, Slee, right now. They're getting the pregame show is basically started for the national championship game tonight. Nick Saban is on set with the guys
from
ESPN.
We'll be coaching for TCU tonight.
But okay, tell me, did you think of McVay right here? Like Saban pops on, Saban's really good at TV. He's really good at it. He's surprisingly funny. He's glib. He obviously knows what he's talking about.
Dry sense of humor.
Very dry sense of humor, but definitely has a sense of humor. And you can tell he's bored out of his mind right there. He's doing it because I'm Nick Saban. I got to be there. I got to have all my kids that I want to recruit know that, hey, I'm still here. Kirby doesn't get all you guys. I get some of these. And Nick Saban, I don't know what he is, probably close to 70, right, if he's not 70 already. Sean McVay sitting there doing that. I'm not saying he's not going to go do it for a period of time, but I think he will be bored out of his mind.
Right or wrong on this, sometimes it helps your perspective on things when you leave something. You know, it's so much of the time we never have proper perspective on things. If McVay leaves the game, he'll probably never love it more than looking back on it and saying, that's where I want to get to. So whether he's doing that or he's not doing anything, I think we both know that McVay's going to coach again.
Sure.
Just may not coach for the Rams.
He may not coach for them, but I just want everybody to take a moment and visualize Sean McVay. We're here week 9, the Jets and the Jags getting ready for a Thursday night till. It's like, really? Mm-hmm. This is what I got? I got to break down Mike White's offensive approach? Really? This is what we're doing this week?
Do you ever hear Barkley on TNT?
I love it.
And he'll just...
He has no interest.
The game is bad, and he's like, what time do we have to be here till? Just the most baller response I've ever heard in my life.
And he had his whole career, too, and now he's sitting there doing it. Big inventions, Red Zone, of course.
Yep.
This little something called the iPhone got introduced today in 2007. Might have changed the course. Human history. That might have changed some things.
Taylor, look up when Google Pixel started. Look up how long it's been around and its invention.
I'm trying to think if there's something else in our
By the way, it's
lifetime.
Normal now. It's normal now.
You've got it figured out?
It's normal now.
Not when it shows up on my phone and I can't get Emily's group text on my laptop while we're doing the show.
You want to hear a story I didn't want to share to you, but you're going to like it, so I'm going to go ahead and share it to you. Lakers PR guy, Mitch Heckert, really nice guy. When injuries happen, stuff like that, they will text the beat writers, the broadcasters, stuff like that. So you get that information, and then we'll go out on Twitter, whatever cases. Comes to me on Friday, and he's like, hey, did you get an Android? I said, yes. He said, okay. He's been texting me, as nice as he is. He's basically sent me a text away from the chain.
Yeah, you destroyed the chain.
I think I'm jacking up the chain. I'm like, Mitch, I don't want to hear
you're
this.
You're not.
I feel incredibly bad, and the guy is nice enough to help out a brother.
You said, I think I turned off my mic. Jacking up the chain.
I can't hear you.
You did jack up the chain. Before, when Emily would send something to you, to Taylor, to myself, to Chris, all of us in our little group chat, I'd get it on my laptop,
Lakers
which I'm
pre-game
looking
show starts
on iMessage.
Which I'm looking at on my laptop. I get it all. Now, I don't get it. Emily's like,
I texted
you something.
You need it on your laptop.
Yes, I do. It's the only thing I'm looking at during the show. I don't look at my phone very often during the show.
And it's
it.
Easier for me, too, to send things on my laptop because I'm also on my computer.
Guys,
who does
mess
up show stuff?
Just and
it's fine.
When you'll get a thing like, you'll give a thumbs up. You all right there, Mace?
Yeah, I got it.
When you get a thumbs up, it'll say, Alan Sliwa liked this message.
You did see my message about your salmon, so everything's fine.
Salmon was good.
Salmon sounds good.
It was good, Mace. And Mace, or I should say, Slee tried to shame me for my presentation. And
I don't know what was wrong with the presentation.
Here's the only problem. He knew what I was talking about. So,
and it bothers me that you zeroed in on the one thing I was a little self-conscious
about. Oh, really? What was the one thing?
I'll show you. We'll do a little super crosstalk right now. So Momo is making her way over here from TV.
Yeah, or in the rain, or I'm
or
not sure.
In the rain,
sure
getting
what.
A Momo special downstairs.
Beautiful outside.
Is it
if
pouring?
You're driving around, pouring. Oh, it's awful. It's terrible. I hate the rain. I know we need it, and that's
you know
big
we really
thing,
could use it. I haven't said that today. That's my
we
new
really
goal.
We really could use it. That's what they all say on the TV.
All my this is the same thing. I swear, since I was a kid, my dad, my mom, my uncle, aunts, all that stuff. When it rains, man. We really needed that.
Really need
my
that.
Dad yeah. says it really every time, yeah. and I want to usurp it from him. I want it to become.
You want to steal it? Yeah.
I want to do it. Yeah. I want to be
do
the
it.
Guy that says
do
they can
be that
absolutely
guy.
Use it.
So the salmon I thought yeah. looked fantastic,
Thank
although
you,
right away Sliwa pointed it out, and now I'm seeing the exact same
thing. You know what I'm talking about, right?
What you did was you plated a beautiful piece
beautiful
of salmon.
Plate.
Beautiful plate.
Beautiful plate. Thank you.
Yeah. And then you wanted to add sriracha, which I completely get.
Well,
and you made it sort of this crooked smile
yes,
around
that's
the
all.
End.
If you
of
look
the
carefully
plate.
On the
say.
Fish, there's a nice squiggle of sriracha.
Oh, okay, good.
Right,
good.
But then I said, you know, I need to do that little thing they do in the
yeah.
restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
The little brush.
Right.
Only
right.
I choked.
Yeah, you choked. All you needed was to squiggle the sriracha.
You needed a spoon. That's how they do it. They get the spoon edge
and you smooth it with a spoon.
But you know what's going to happen?
I watch Chopped. I know how this stuff
so
works.
So do I. I knew how to do it, but I did it, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to leave it, and then I'm like, Sliwa won't notice that. Emily, maybe, and then Sliwa pounced
Mace,
on
here's
it.
The yeah. thing. Here's the thing. If we don't tell him,
yeah.
then he's just going to continue to send photos like that.
That's
he's
true.
Never sending a photo like that unless it's the perfect squiggly line.
Yeah, right.
I took
right.
my time. Look how I framed it all up. It's
oh,
like,
you framed it up. It's beautiful.
Very disappointing.
Yeah.
Salmon looks good.
Now, do you watch the Chopped? I watch
I
Chopped all the time.
I'm a
and
loyal viewer.
I watch it. I'll go back and look at the library because we play a game at my house. We play
okay.
the Chopped game.
What's the
which
game?
Which is you see the introductions of the chefs, yeah. and then you have to make a bet on yeah. who you think mm. is going to win just based on their background.
Yes.
And then Ted, of course, decides
Love
and all
Ted.
Those guys. Ted is the best.
He's awesome.
And then you see who wins Chopped. So we play Chopped.
How
at
often
my
are
house.
You right?
I hit about a third of the time.
It's
which
hard.
Is not right. It's
I, because
hard.
I didn't know this was a game, but I'm playing the same game
oh, yeah.
with you.
Oh, he's a big cheese guy. Oh, no. She's a big Italian food
You know
person.
Who's a good bet against? Mm. Let's go deep into the weeds
yeah.
and Chopped. Anybody that's a home chef, they're out.
Oh, home chef.
A home
not.
Chef is
no.
almost this, an automatically out.
This is not for home chef.
This is
this
for
is,
professionals.
This is for real, real. Yeah. Do you watch cooking shows?
So here we're going to go back to YouTube.
Oh, you watch cooking shows on YouTube?
YouTube will have, they'll have guys, you know, this is their channel. They have a million subscribers,
right, right.
500,000 subscribers. And they will go, this time they're going to Italy. And they're going to different, they're going to go to Naples, and they're going to go to Milan, and they're going to go to different parts of, and they're going to go eat at these unbelievable restaurants.
Oh.
And they'll go back, some of these restaurants will allow the chef, or they'll go back with the chef and show them how they prepare and everything else. So I don't watch Chopped, but I watch a lot of those food shows. What I can't do when watching a food show, and I'm sure you're the same way,
mm-hmm.
are you ordering food and eating while all this stuff's going on?
No,
I can't.
No,
no.
I have to,
no.
I have
I
to have
eat.
Already eaten before I put on Chopped. Like, I've got to be satisfied so that Chopped does not spur me to order something
don't they say
bad for me.
If you're going to go to the grocery store,
don't
eat
go hungry.
First.
Yeah, don't
yeah,
go
don't
hungry.
Go
you're going to buy
a
bunch
right,
of stuff.
Right.
I'm just looking at it for learning how to do things. Like, oh, I could probably do that at home.
You know where you could learn a lot of, and you won't go on. My mom is getting recipes off TikTok.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, my mom is scrolling through TikTok. She'll occasionally do a goofy dance, and then she'll make, you know, tuna casserole or whatever the hell she's making there.
If there's
What's
one thing to get him on TikTok, that
yeah.
that will get him on TikTok.
Yeah, no, recipes. You can get recipes
right.
off TikTok.
That's the best
yeah.
that's the best I've
Home
heard.
DIY stuff is big on TikTok. Recipes are big on TikTok. Mm. It's not just for the kids doing the funny dancing.
Well, it's mostly that. We'll see.
It's a lot
you're,
of that.
You're pushing me in the right direction.
There you go.
McVay coming or going?
Well, my sources are... I'm kidding. I don't have any sources. I think he's gone.
I do, too.
Yeah, I think he's gone. I mean, once
too.
You start seeing that story wants to take some time to away from the team to evaluate... Once I see that,
you know
I'm
what
like,
we haven't heard from him either?
Hmm.
I honestly don't know what I'm going to do yet. That would fill me with a little bit more hope that he might
right,
be coming
right.
back. He said, guys... I need some time. I don't know. He's being very cagey with how he answers these
sure,
questions.
Sure.
And I understand why, but none of the caginess in the answers leads me to believe that he's coming back. I think the only hope that I have for him coming back, because I desperately want him to
oh,
come
me
back,
too.
Is maybe 2 or 3 weeks goes by and he is refreshed and he is able to unplug for a while and realizes, you know what, I'm ready to go again. Let's go back and let's jump in
well,
with
both
feet.
Here's the thing about 2 or 3 weeks. Don't the Rams want to make a run at Sean Payton? And is he not off the board if McVay waits 2 or 3 weeks?
Well, here's the question. Oh, maybe, unless he knows, look, I can put that Denver job in my back pocket. I can put the Indianapolis job in my back pocket. That if I say, hey, guys, I need 2 weeks to think about this right, or whatever right. it is, sit tight and I'll let you know. I think they'll wait. And he may be waiting for the Rams because of all the jobs.
Because I think the Rams job is the most attractive job.
I don't think there's any question, yeah. right? I mean, can you think of a – because what, we got Indy, Arizona, Denver, and Carolina.
Carolina,
oh, yeah, Carolina.
I think the Rams job is the most attractive
by
job.
A mile.
Yeah.
Rams is most attractive, no question about that. I guess the question just comes down to Sean McVay is Sean McVay.
Right.
And are the Rams willing to say, take your time, do your thing? You know, sometimes you can put too much pressure on us. Hey, we got to know by this point.
Right.
And I'm with you. I think he said everything without actually saying it.
Yeah.
Guys, I want a break from NFL. I want a break from being a head coach. And whether that means he comes back and coaches in 2 years, 5 years, maybe he goes dozen TV, yep. whatever he does. But I would imagine because it's Sean McVay, the Rams will give him as much time as he asks for.
100%.
And if that means they lose out on some other, you know, coaches for the chance of keeping Sean McVay, I think they will lose out on some of these other coaches.
Yes, I agree with that. But there's a part of the whatever the decision is, I think it could send you in two totally different directions.
Yeah.
If he comes back, we're going to run I expect Aaron Donald to be back, Matthew Stafford, Jalen Ramsey, like right on that
all
line.
Those guys, yeah.
We're going to try to get healthier. We're going to try to get a little deeper, but the backbone of this team is going to be roughly the same. If he decides that he needs some time away from this, is now not the time to say, okay, listen, we lost the most important person in the building. Let's start to restock the cupboard. Let's see what you can get for Jalen Ramsey or Bobby Wagner or Aaron Donald or Cooper Kupp. Not Cooper Kupp, probably not, but it's Matthew Stafford. But just, hey, listen, we're in a weird spot all of a sudden. We didn't want to be, but here we are. Now may be the time to rip off the Band-Aid. Caleb Williams is growing up in a year. Let's just take a look at what may be around the corner.
Do we have our first round?
Yes.
Next year.
2023 draft, no.
God, Caleb Williams. Oh,
2024 draft, Caleb Williams is eligible to be drafted.
Yep.
We all know what that looks like. And tell me that's not a perfect marriage.
Yeah, but do we really want to go through a season where we... Well, I guess we just went through a season where
we
won five.
You just did. Yep. And by the way, it's a season. It's not the next 10 years. There's no guarantees. But when you get that quarterback position right, we've seen what it looks like.
Or do you say, it's funny, I was reading yesterday that McVay, if he had left last year, his successor would have been Kevin O'Connell, who wound up in Minnesota and has done a great job in Minnesota. You know, Raheem Morris is a good in-house candidate.
Yep.
At the same time, I don't know, teams seem to be so offensive-driven as opposed to defensive-driven now. Mm. And you seem to need one of those guys. Have you heard the McVay stays and Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator stuff?
I have not. Here's the thing. I get that Cliff Kingsbury's former head coach, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody want to remind me what he's good at? Somebody want to show me, other than being very, very handsome and having a cool,
draft setup.
Right, that his team has been good once.
It's
they
true.
Got thrashed by the Rams in the playoffs.
Yep.
He didn't, what's his face? Kyler Murray's arguably worse now than he was a couple of years ago. I don't understand why he's a super attractive candidate for anything.
Offensive coordinator? Yeah, I'd take a run on him as offensive coordinator.
With Morris as your head coach?
Sure.
Are you already off the Sean McVay thing? Think he's gone?
I feel like he's gone. Do you feel like he's gone?
No.
I don't. Is that just a feeling?
Yes, it's just a feeling.
It's not like,
Why do you feel that way?
I just think that he really actually needs to take some time. And I think there are two things that are out there. One, there's the broadcast, you know, idea, which is always
studio
there for
host,
him whenever
analyst,
he wants,
blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah. How much money are you going to throw at him?
Yep.
Okay, so that's sort of why we're open for business. But then the other part of it, too, is that I think he's just a winner, and he wants to see how this team can be reinvented and reinvigorated. He needs to see what's going on with Matthew Stafford. Is Stafford okay, or are they looking for a new franchise quarterback?
Right.
He just needs some time to see if this team can be rebooted. And, you know, as you know, when you trade away your picks,
Momo? Can he get the answers to those questions in a month?
Maybe. And I think they have time, right?
They
don't have to rush.
He's got time.
Some.
I think he wants to win, though.
I mean, other names are going to come off the board, like Sean Payton's going to come off the board if we wait for McVay. Now, I'm all about waiting for McVay. If it's legit and if he's really thinking,
debating, then sure, give him the time.
But are you already preparing, like, emotionally?
Yes.
Are you preparing?
Yeah. In fact,
absolutely.
My first text yesterday, as soon as I saw this, let me see if I can find it. It was, go ahead and vamp for a second.
Ramona, I'm going to throw this. I think the winning part, of course, is incredibly important for him. He is a winner. But I feel like there's more to it. I think sometimes you are, and it's so weird to say because he's so young. Sometimes you just need a break from whatever you're doing. And I feel like for him, it has nothing really to do with the Rams. Do you think the Rams ownership doesn't want to win? Do you think the GM doesn't want
to? I think they're in a tough position to trade away all the picks.
Yeah, trade away. But at the same time, they are going to get healthy. And they do have what is essentially an early second round pick. Put the football thing aside.
Yeah. I think that there's, you know, draft picks and cap space and all that stuff. That's the footballiness of it all, right?
Yeah.
Then there's the... He just got married. His wife is from Ukraine.
Yep.
She has immediate family members still in Ukraine going through what's going on in Ukraine. His grandfather, who is incredibly close to,
passed away this season.
And this is a man, Sean McVay, who clearly does nothing half speed. It is all in on literally everything he does. And to Al, to your point, I do think that even if you're only 36 years old, there comes a point where you only have, I don't have any more bandwidth. I can't do this anymore.
Right.
It's not, do I have my quarterback or my pick? It's my mind is about to pop out of my skull kind of thing.
So I got this text yesterday from Bergman. Sean McVay, immediate future as the Los Angeles Rams head coach, is in limbo. Multiple sources tell ESPN from Adam Schefter. I fire back. I like Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan, 38 years old, learned the offense from Zach Taylor with Stafford's quarterback coach when he was killing it in Detroit. That's how quickly I was like, my goodness, that was quick.
Yeah.
It took me no time at all. I liked that guy.
Dang.
Mama.
Well, I mean,
dang, that was quick. How
once you, once
there,
you see
there's no mourning period,
once
there's
you
no...
see mulling his, hey, look, once yeah. you see mulling his choices, you're like, ah,
I know. If you're already
he's
thinking about it,
no indication. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, there was something every single day that was indicating towards Sean McVay potentially, you know, taking a step away from the NFL.
Hey, look, Shadano's stopping
in the house. How about that?
Just fresh from
unusual appearance.
Brand new.
I don't have a show today.
Brand new podcast. So you're doing the brand new podcast?
A little super crosstalk, little appetizer?
Yeah,
you
we don't have a show, so I figured I'd come in. I just wanted to ask Mace how sad he is about Sean McVay.
Super sad. We're working through our grief as we speak.
Super sad.
You think he's coming or going?
I think he may go.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
too.
When you're talking, I know he didn't say it to the media, but when those things leak out,
there's
right,
like
something and who leaked
well,
them
but there's
out
also
too, right?
A look, maybe I'm just more skeptical, but I'm like, well, you leak that out, and then that's basically saying, get your best offers in whatever broadcast
TV network.
I mean,
he interned for us like 2 years ago, basically.
Here's the thing. He is going to be the next great broadcaster. He's going to be great whenever he decides to do that, and however long he decides to do that. Amazon guys, I think that they had a good first year. What, the Al Michaels
and Kirk Herbstreit?
Pretty sure that was a multi-year deal for all those guys, right? Yeah. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
Set.
There's not an obvious landing spot.
Is there obvious...
Yeah,
because Brady's not going there yet.
Not yet. But
and isn't it Greg Olson right now?
Greg Olson and Kevin Burkhardt.
Yeah.
Kevin
so it's really about what's open and who wants to throw the most money at somebody.
Right. But he should have done this. If he was going to do this last year, was the time to do it. Because Amazon was clearly going to give him that job.
Whatever he wanted.
Yeah, whatever he wanted.
I still come back to this, too. And because I've been around guys like Sean McVay before, they need some time away. They need to recharge batteries, all this stuff. And then a week or two into it, it's like, what the hell am I doing? Yeah. The juice that he gets from coaching football games is what makes that guy go.
Does it feel like that situation?
Football
does it feel like that?
Yeah. I really do think it could be one of these. I'm overwhelmed with everything
like
that's
the
going
thing.
On.
Well,
like,
he's getting married. He wants to have a family.
And then we get close to the draft, and it's like, wait, I don't have draft picks to make. I don't have a team to manage.
So I'm like big on this because I'm literally living this right now, right, where you have to do the job differently as you go through your life.
Yeah.
Okay. I had two babies in the last 4 years, right? It changes who you are, how you do the job, how you put yourself into the job because you're split now.
Yeah. We had this conversation on the phone the other day.
And I think I'm just as good at my job, if not better in certain ways, and I'm probably not as good in other ways. But it's because of it's where I put my resources, focus, time and ability, but I still love what I do. It's just I don't necessarily go on the road quite as much as I used to, but we've all adjusted during the COVID years to doing the job somewhat more remotely. So you make different choices about where you put your energy. Can Sean do that? Can he do the job differently?
Some can't.
Yeah.
Can he change his focus? I think that's literally the job of every working parent. George, you have to figure that out.
Yeah, no doubt. And Momo said she's better at some things and maybe worse at others. Is she better or worse filling in for John post-babies, Mason?
Oh, she's the best post-babies.
Okay, there you go.
She has another one.
I anticipate today is going to be a magical show.
Yeah.
I think it's the post-baby show.
You know what it is? You're looking at me with my TV lashes on.
Oh, yeah, no. You're,
yeah, that's what it is.
You're batting
the
them
TV.
At me.
Yeah.
You should bring the kids your lashes
you
at
me. And I made you a cute video with Daniel over the weekend.
I saw the cute video.
Was that the best video?
Yeah, now, are you warming up to children now because Momo has two kids?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great when
Uncle Mace?
I think it's great when other people have kids.
Uncle Mace?
Yeah.
Bring the kids and leave them with Jorge and Greg.
Wait, they'll I feel like Mace as Uncle Mace would not be a bad thing. Like, I feel like Uncle Mace
would be okay.
Uncle Mace likes donuts. Kids love donuts.
Yes.
Uncle's the right job.
Yeah,
right.
No, Uncle.
Yes,
yeah, not Dad.
Right. Uncle Mace, let's go get donuts and ice cream, kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go.
That's a good dad.
Uncle's the job because at the end of the night, it's like,
hand it back.
Yeah. See y'all next week. Yeah. That's how you do it. Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.